Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show. Things are hopping and watching.
It's time to
hopping.
Panic.
Time to panic, all of you.
They're closing the liquor stores.
Liquor stores.
We'll get to that. Hey, I want to let you know, first off, this show brought to you, sponsored in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Boy, are they doing a good job making sure the conservative voice is getting out there as we're going through this. I highly recommend checking out the website, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Also, would like to let you know, you can catch all of our shows. Always just go to chuckandjulie.com, and that'll send you right to the site where you can watch it live. You can also get all the podcasts there. If you want to join us via video and audio, you can do that on Zoom from chuckandjulie.com, because it'll send you to BBS. And also just check out our YouTube channel. And if you do, please subscribe. We want to start bringing you more live stuff besides just on our, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday shows, but YouTube requires us to have a certain number of subscribers. Nothing happens when you subscribe. You don't
no get money.
No money.
No
not
emails.
A bunch of crazy emails. We don't deliver liquor, sadly. No. But you do. You know, it does help us bring stuff live. We're trying to get Glendale Mayor Mike Dunifan on here in a minute, and also Jan Cook from Colorado Freedom Force. But big news just moments ago. Mayor of Denver announcing a stay-in-place order for the city and county of Denver that supersedes the governor's order yesterday, where they asked non-essential businesses to only have
half
the people on the streets.
That's good.
So Denver, and you know, a lot of the questions had to center around liquor stores and dispensaries. So if you're worried about that, you should be worried about that. We'll go buy booze in Glendale. We'll let Mike Dunifan talk about that.
We'll
the city of Denver, starting tomorrow at 5, this order goes into place. And
you can get recreational marijuana.
No, you can't. Not in Denver.
No, medical. I'm sorry. I had it mixed up. Medical marijuana you can get, but no recreational marijuana. And so, you know, but Glendale has plenty of hot places instead of other ones.
You got to wonder what the governor's going to do. One thing, though, too, that's good, because, you know, restaurants still can do takeout and delivery. And the governor did ease the law that said that they can't deliver. They can deliver booze to make it. My daughter, they went to a local restaurant and they got like a Mexican dinner and then like 32-ounce styrofoam cups of margaritas. So that's an option for you if you live in Denver. One other thing I want to talk about, and we'll get to that too. Just the Democrats at Capitol Hill they're trying to destroy this country, and they don't care who they take down with them. One of the provisions that's in the bill they keep denying is not only would the small businesses be eligible for a loan in this, right, that are being hurt, if they keep their employees, the government will forgive that loan. I mean, that's a kind of thing that will really help. And the Democrats are like, nope, we need Planned Parenthood.
Well, they turned down the bill. Last time it was 47-47. This time it's 46. So it's getting better. They got to get to 60, which they won't get anytime soon. The wish list includes every wish list the Democrats have ever had.
They don't care. They're gambling. They're gambling that if they can destroy the economy, they can destroy Trump, and they're happy to do that.
Or the Republicans will fold, because Republicans always fold. So it'll be great.
That's right.
I have a day to celebrate here, though.
This is
my 48th day on a diet, and tomorrow I get to celebrate. Hopefully a liquor store is open. But 500 calories.
I am stocked up, just let me tell you. Yeah.
So I've been on coffee in the morning, 250 calories at lunch and dinner, and then 18-hour fasting. So I feel great.
You do, and you look. He looks really good too. So, well, you know, hopefully, when the social distancing ends, we'll be able to do something.
Yeah, we're not officially socially distanced right now.
But we're related.
But hey, you kids can go visit their grandparents. The parents can't visit the kids, but the kids can in Denver and so forth. So I wonder what the police state is going to do, you know, rounding up people. There were kids in the park, apparently, in the playground.
Listen, that's good. We've got Mike Dunifan, the mayor, and we've got some phone calls here, too. So, guys, hang on. We'll get to you, too. But we've got Mike Dunifan, the mayor of Glendale, joining us. Hey, Mike, thank you for your time this afternoon.
You're most welcome. Hello, Chuck. Hello, Julie.
Hello, Mike. What's your reaction to the mayors? Are you going to, you know, follow suit? Shelter in place. All marijuana places, except the medical portions. Liquor stores must close. No kids gathering on playgrounds. I think breathing is still permitted in city and county of Denver, but
only from 6 feet.
Yeah, only from 6 feet.
Your take on that, Mike?
Well, I don't have much of a take on any of that. My take is we are being suffocated by political correctness. And that is the reason that we don't have the ability as individuals in the United States to actually have the common sense to pour sand down a rat hole. When we take a look at the number of items that are hoarded in a supermarket, we're supposedly supposed to shelter in place at home, and what we hoard is toilet paper and bottled water. At some level, there are some members of our society that fundamentally don't get it. So the idea that a centralized government should be taking control is fairly understandable when you think of the social IQ of the people they're telling to stay at home.
You know, one of the things I think that is so atrocious about what's going on is what you hit upon with the political correctness, right? Of the things, when you look at the actual statistics, right? I believe that it does not justify the destruction of businesses, hopes and dreams, plans and futures of hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans, right? I think it would make more sense to socially isolate and quarantine and have people stay at home, the people who are at risk, rather than the rest of us. But what happens, Mike, I think is, number one, I think you had the mainstream media who hates the president. You had other organizations that hate the president, want to see him destroyed. So once you have one state, one city start doing this, all the others have to, you have one school district say, okay, we're going to close down. Well, then for just political correctness and maybe liability reasons, everybody else has to do it too. And we are getting attacked for saying, hey, wait a minute, is this really a good idea?
It's wonderful. Jason Saltzman, who we love anyway, famous for hearing Michael Huttner ripping off kids and families about a vacation trip to Hawaii so you could go visit Obama's birthplace. Now that we're on a podcast, I mean, wow. I mean, we must be pretty effective. I think we are. Because he's going wild, just wild. We're Nazis.
When we suggested we don't need to destroy the economy.
Every kind of usual kind of attack you could imagine. But there's one part, there was one intelligence.
Well, that's what Mike respond to that first. Yeah. Okay. Mike, I mean, your thoughts on this whole political correctness circus.
Well, when you take a look at the concept of herd immunity, which they're practicing in the United Kingdom. What you're saying, Julie, is absolutely correct, in that you would take an at-risk population above a certain age group with certain underlying issues of their health, like diabetes. So you could say the at-risk population in the United States is really the 45% of Americans that are obese. So you take a look at all that, but it becomes political at that point, wherein you're not even allowed to say what it is. So you can't even really talk about the problem. If you can't talk about the problem, you can't address the solution. So to develop herd immunity, you have to take a population that isn't at risk and allow them to become ill. So the illness in that non-at-risk population is very, very benign. So you would sequester then that group of people, say, over 65 years old or with at-risk circumstances like heart disease, lung failure,
diabetes.
Right. You would move them out. Now, but you can't even talk about not being fair and equitable because you are going to search for the equality of outcome instead of what you really need to do is save as many people as possible. A perfect example of that is the governor of New York saying, if I can just save one person, it will be a success.
Right.
So we've come so far down the track that I could make a claim that I am pointing to one person I'm saving when I destroy the livelihoods of 9 million people. I destroy the trucking industry. I destroy, while failing to mention that 97 to 99% of the drugs we need to help the at-risk population are made in China, and we can't get them. They've already threatened that we can't have them.
Right.
So because of political correctness, we're stuck in this world where we literally are damned if we do and damned if we don't. Now, the last thing I'll say before answering that little portion is the glue that holds us together as a civilization is an underlying belief system in a power that is greater than the state. And that's how you help your neighbor. Yeah. So they're trying to split us up from our neighbors because we don't have the common sense, once again, to come in out of the rain.
Well, and here's the hypocrisy of statements like the new, you know, from New York, where they say, if I could save one life, and I've said this before, every year in Colorado, more than 400 people die on the roads. Every year, we know that. And so if we could close all of the roads, if we got rid of all the vehicles, including bicycles and scooters, because people die on those too, we could save at least 400 lives. But no one even pretends that we should do that, right? And so all of a sudden, because it's politically expedient, they say, oh, we can let all those other people die. That's okay. It's only these COVID, you know, coronavirus lives that we need to save. That's a hypocrisy, Mike, that gets to me when he says one life. Well, if he really was caring so much about one life, they could certainly do a lot of things differently in New York that would also shut down the economy. But hey, all those lives would be saved.
You can't save lots of lives unless the individual decides to save his own.
Yeah.
And when you take responsibility for your own life, you will ironically save society. Now, that doesn't mean you coercively go out and take somebody else's possessions in that process, which I'm afraid is around the corner, because we don't have the underlying moral glue to hold things together. Every socialist and every communist is an atheist.
Yeah.
They cannot say that they aren't. That's the underlying idea, this egalitarian idea that there is a utopia someplace, if we just try hard enough to find it, doesn't exist. You must have a compassionate belief that you are responsible for your neighbor and your neighbor for you, and you ultimately for yourself. So when you say shelter at home, don't go out, or as Michael just said, Michael Hancock, we will enforce it. Now, that's a chilling comment.
Right, now they're going to let burglaries and shoplifting go, right? But if you're
so there will be some economic
But if you're at the playground with your kid, I mean, and you know, and they address the fact that that's ridiculous. But Mike, how do you deal with this? I mean, in Glendale, you've got to be struggling, with how do we handle this?
How do you respond to the mayor of Denver? Denver surrounds Glendale.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys should open up some liquor stores, would be my. But I mean,
well,
How are you sorting through this in Glendale?
Well, in the tiny kingdom, the Luxembourg of liberty, the Vatican of freedom, the park is open and the lights are on all night with Wi-Fi. And we have people from our rec center who are instructed to help people follow the rules of six feet of separation and talk to your neighbor. Come out. Don't. This cabin fever will become a dreadful scenario if people, as social animals, are not able to communicate and congregate safely with one another. And that's just a walk in the park. The idea that you can't do that is a dreadful concept that will have terrible consequences in a very short time.
Yeah.
Well, in the Jason Saltzman article, which, you know, we're Nazis, we can't even say anything because we're being not politically correct. And the vitriol in the comments is just wonderful, just typical of those kind of people.
First, I think those are probably not real people. I submit those are astroturfers.
But one, John in Denver actually had an intelligent remark. And it shows you the difference. He says, you know, it's astonishing that someone so prominent, i.e. me, has such a large audience and can be morally and factually wrong. And so it says the lowest estimate of infection I've seen is 20%. Lowest hospitalization rate I've seen is 9%. Lowest ICU rate is 1%. Lowest death rate is 0.5%. Applied to the Colorado population, that means you just go hospitalization and everything else, and 29,000 deaths. Which is
in Colorado alone, 29,000 deaths.
72 times the number of auto fatalities he's talking about. Well, if you have 29,000 fatalities, Colorado's population is a little less than 2% of the United States. So that means that approximately 1.5 million people in Colorado will die. And in the world, that means around 30 million will die, and over the next few months. the likelihood, you know, the number, the death toll in Colorado is what, a couple dozen?
Seven.
So on March 23rd, you have seven, but we're going to have 1.5 million before the flu season bears out. And that's, you know, all the statistics you can get from someplace.
But there, those statistics are ignoring the reality
That's happening. You know, that's a person who's actually done the math and tries to go through it and says we'll have 1.5 million people dead in Denver in a few months or Colorado in a few months. And if that is the case, then Michael Hancock's somewhat bizarre stay in place is probably warranted.
But it's not going to do any good if we have that many people.
Hey, well, let me finish this.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I didn't. And so my guess is that in the United States, more people will not die than happened to swine flu, which I did have back in 2010. And that was 12,000 on the whole United States. Forget Colorado. So you are talking apples and oranges. I mean, if someone's insane, and maybe it's me. You know, maybe it's me. Maybe 29,000 will die in Colorado, 1.5 in the United States. I think those statistics have no resemblance to what the world is really going to see. I don't think we go from 12 7. I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating it to 1.5 million. But I promise you, John in Denver is not being he's not one of those people who just wants to swear and yell and call everybody Nazis. But he's trying to come from it in a logical manner. I just think his logical manner gives you statistics that will bear no resemblance to the number of people who die in Colorado.
Right now we have reported 59 deaths in Colorado, and we have two cases in Glendale that are reported. So to extrapolate that out, there are several different ways to do that. One of the ways you shouldn't be doing it, in my mind, is to ignore the real at-risk population.
Right.
If you took the numbers of people that showed antibodies in a blood test, you could segregate those people out. You don't need a COVID-19 test to do that. You could do a blood test and see that you've got antibodies for this particular pathogen. At that point, you could release those people back into society to become working members of society. That's the concept of herd immunity. But we're not doing that. We're passing all sorts of knee-jerk programs that are facilitating various political agendas. That is the worst possible way to handle an outbreak of any kind, and it is unconscionable. And we, as thinking citizens, should reject both sides of the aisle that are attempting to do that and change our leadership. Right now, we have a population of young people that don't believe anything anybody is saying to them. For one, they've never had it tough a day in their life. Two, they don't believe what anybody says for the reason that their entire life has not been affected by anything. So they move about in circles together, passing the disease off one and another, and they could be asymptomatic other than they would have antibodies in their bloodstream. So we're not addressing this problem. What we're doing is attempting to create a bigger problem, become the hero of our own tragedy, and move forward with a political agenda.
I know, and in the meantime, I mean, we talk to businesses, you know, the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, the newspaper, on a daily basis that are trying to figure out how to deal with this. I'm sure you must be hearing from businesses in Glendale, right? What are they telling you?
Well, confusion, Julie. Who do I believe? And people are accustomed to being force-fed. So it depends on where they get their news.
Yeah,
are they
going
to get it from Tucker? Are they going to get it from CNN? Or are they actually going to go see Stefan Molyneux? Are they going to read the Epoch Times? They don't do the work to make the decisions necessary to literally save themselves.
Right.
They allow somebody else to move them in a direction. What they don't ask themselves is this: does this disease have a political agenda? Most people, if you ask them that question, would say, I don't know. Well, I can answer that question. No.
Right.
Even if it was created in a lab someplace and set free, the disease is mindless. And so you have to ask yourself a question. Now that nature is doing what nature does, why do I think I'm going to have anything to say about it? I need to become a non-host to the disease. What are the ways to do that? I need to sequester myself as an at-risk 66-year-old man from my grandchildren until this blows over. And you kids are going to get cold symptoms, and I'm going to, and your parents are going to get maybe a little worse cold symptoms, but it's time now, 2 weeks in or three, to go back to work. And don't come see me for another month.
That's exactly what I think. Hey, let's go, Mike. You'll take some phone calls. I think we have Carl, if they want to talk, Carl and Susan on the telephone. Hey, Carl and Susan, did you guys want to weigh in on this?
Kurt and Susan.
Oh, Kurt, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I need my glasses on. Kurt and Susan.
No worries. So we're just listening to you. We got an email from our friend John Zerwick. I don't know if you know John.
Maybe.
It sounds like you should.
Exactly. Love him.
I love John Zerwick.
Hey, so are you guys thinking about the connection here between COVID-19 and the 5G installations going around?
No.
I haven't heard that. No, that sounds kind of conspiracy oriented, but give it to us real quick.
Did you know, about 5G?
Right.
Yeah, we got that.
It's the next step to all this mobile transmission, right?
Right.
There's a huge race between the United States and China, who's going to dominate the world 5G, right?
Right.
Wuhan, China was the largest 5G installation in the world. People started falling down when they turned it on in October. Then all of a sudden, COVID-19 was diagnosed by all the Chinese researchers, okay? And the Chinese government used COVID-19 to explain why all the people were falling down.
I got to tell you.
And then to get it,
Go ahead and finish.
No, this is really interesting. Sorry, I'm kind of bringing this up to what's really happening here, because as our civil liberties start being taken away, you got to realize there's some other agenda going on. New York City, huge 5G installation. Yeah. Italy, huge 5G installation. In fact, the Italy Prime Minister just tweeted out about 6 hours ago or 12 hours ago that they see a correlation between the COVID-19 and their 5G.
Whoa. You know what, Kurt, because we want to get back to Mayor Donovan, we'll look into that. I mean, I got to tell you right now, I'm a little bit skeptical, but that means zero. I mean,
That's fine.
I don't know.
Let me just finish. Just a thought here. I was listening while you guys were talking, okay? And if we're going to be sheltered in place tomorrow, right, 5 p.m., I think we got about one day to try to demonstrate or something downtown.
Yeah. Only you keep your social distancing. Well, that's a concern. We've seen the mayor of Denver, and Kurt and Susan, I'm going to kind of put you on hold and bring Mike back up. But thank you for the call, and we'll look into that. He said at the park, Mike, it goes to what you say. The millennials, and you can't blame them. They don't believe anything anyone is telling them, right? They were still playing volleyball at the parks. They were doing pickup basketball games. And the mayor, they're doing spring break. And I go back to Mike. This political correctness has run amok. And, if we think the millennials don't believe us this time, they're not going to believe anything we say next time.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, Julie, is they don't believe that fundamentally there's any repercussions for their actions. Yeah. And that's a typical thing of young people, because they're invincible.
Yeah.
They didn't live through, as my grandparents lived through, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. And my great-grandfather through World War I and World War II and part of Korea. So they have never seen a difficult time, and we live in a world where everything is handed over to us, and the price we pay for having it handed over is to surrender our liberties in the process of becoming tax cattle for the government.
Yeah.
Now, the 5G thing that is mentioned here is quite interesting, because 5G is a much more powerful set of bandwidth that are
Right.
The duration is much shorter, but the frequencies are much more intense. So I wouldn't discount any of that. Now, to correlate it with COVID, who knows? We can run wild with theories about all that. What we do know is that people are dying from it. It's proximity. It's age-related and underlying health issues related to a compromised immune system. We know all that. So we could fix that with common sense. What we are not paying attention to is political correctness says that everybody must be in this together. So we should maybe kill everybody to save one.
Yeah.
Instead of, you old folks stay at home, the young people are going to go back to work, we're going to beat this thing, and once we do that, we're going to examine where it came from and how we got here. And I suspect if we have 1 ounce of common sense left, we change every political leader that tried to sell us on a political motive behind this disease.
Mike, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Listen, we got to go because we've got other guests coming
Great
up.
Great for coming on, Mike. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for your time. You take care out there.
Yeah, good luck. Be healthy.
All right. Thank you, too. Mayor Mike Dunafin from the
Voice
city of Glendale.
Of good sense.
Of good sense, yeah. Fortunately, Glendale is surrounded by Denver where everyone can now go buy their booze in Glendale. So before
get your recreational pot.
Get your recreational marijuana there, too. We've got Jan Cook from Colorado Freedom Force standing by, but we got Barney on the line, too. So let's take a minute and let's go to Barney. Hey, Barney, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Barney.
So I don't take your storyline, but I wanted to say, first off, Kurt, just stop it. Stop it now. The virus is real, and the 5G thing is real. It's going to fry your brain. You're going to have uranium going through your brain. There's no doubt that it's going to light you up, but they are separate issues. And
just look it up, and USA Today says and you know, take it from the source, it's USA Today, that 5G and coronavirus have no connection. Now, so at least
that's
they're denying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's they're denying it.
They're denying it.
So, you know, I mean, got me. I hadn't heard that before.
Okay, what? Well, I have heard about the 5G thing, and I don't like using I feel like, you know, I talk a lot on the phone, but I don't like it. But the fact is, they did crank it up. But this COVID virus thing, Mark Levin was going off the numbers, and it's unreal. It's old people. It's people in nursing homes that have been cleaned out that have died. And you guys are, and Mike was, I never thought about testing the working force. What about these hotels? They say that the people that are on vacation are going to be stuck in the hotel for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Who's paying for it? Why don't you just test the people and turn them loose? But once again, the U.S. has been caught with their pants down, like World War II. Every, you know, South Korea, almost the third world country, I guess you could say, can
not
test,
anymore.
But we can't. Not anymore, obviously, in hell. We're just, and then we're going to let these ass clown politicians or these prostitute seeing mayors of Denver tell us what to do. This is ridiculous. I mean, they're telling us to, yeah, by the way, Hancock, no going to Denver players after
exactly.
5, you
a-hole.
That's an essential business.
That could be
an essential business.
That's probably is. Yeah, he probably did.
They can let half the people go, but, you know, 50% of the girls
place. It's a mess.
Yeah, God
it's
only knows what you could get. God only knows what you could get from those women. But, yeah, we're gonna let you go ahead and go there, Michael. You go right ahead. I don't know.
But he looks so wonderfully pompous and smug, his picture.
Oh,
taken.
Yeah, just like Cuomo. I mean, these liberals, they're in heaven right now, shutting everything down. I'll tell you what,
so
though, I don't drink. What's that?
It's so much fun. None of you people can get out of your house. None of you. Understand you.
Yeah.
Now, kid, yeah, get off the swing.
You know, I don't drink, but I know what people are like that do drink when they don't get their booze. You're going to have some angry, you're going to have some angry people out there, guys. Angry. So, and then the potheads, they're all nice and lovey-dovey, so they can't get their pot. Now, you're really messing up by shutting this crap down. Love both of you. Kurt, just stop it for now, okay? Just you can listen, but just stop it.
All right. Barney, thank you for calling.
Let's bring up Jan Cook now. Thanks, Barney. Let's bring up Jan Cook. Jan, great to have you come.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
We're good. We're good. We want to, Jan Cook is with Colorado Freedom Force. Our original plan was to have her on every Monday to talk about, oh no, who's that?
This is Augie.
Oh, hi.
Augie looks like a chihuahua because we had him. He's actually a Yorkie mix. Had him cut super short because our supposedly the pet services might be closing down also.
Oh, there you go. We had Tiger groomed. Tiger's sleeping. We won't turn the camera because we never get it back on. But Augie looks adorable. Well, we wanted to have you on. We had a bunch of stuff to talk to you about today. But initially, the plan was to have you keeping us up to date on the legislature, which has now been suspended for a while. But I think, though, to me, there is a possible one of the silver linings in some of this is all of the bills that maybe now the Democrats won't be able to push through. Do you have any thoughts on some of that?
Well, we're continuing to send out action alerts, sending out our petitions that call them citizen action petitions, where we sign them and then we're going to deliver them to the legislatures on bills like 156, which we call the blank a check to Planned Parenthood, the dangerous drug bills 007-028 and also 1065. And then we have another one that we're very concerned with. People call it Polis Care, and that's 1359. But here's the thing. I'm curious with, and you're going to probably have Patrick on, I'm assuming, on Friday.
Correct.
With this whole shutdown of Denver to April the 10th, the Capitol sits in Denver, and I'm curious now how that's going to impact the legislature. How can they, on one hand, be calling this a state of emergency and still think that business as usual is acceptable when they're asking everybody else to shut down and to be restricted in their own homes? Even Polis, if you heard his press conference yesterday, said he wants people to try to limit the amount of exercise they're now getting.
He does a very good job of that, by the way.
And I thought, what? People can't go to their gyms and they can't, but what they can do is at least get outdoors for some fresh air. They even want to restrict that. I think that underscores people, that simple statement underscores that government thinks they know better.
That's
scary to me.
Well,
so go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, you know, and you commented on this too, and I listened to a little bit of the Polis news conference. He sounded very tense, I thought, yesterday. Very tense. Now, I'm guessing he's getting a ton of pushback. I mean, you know, at this point, it's affecting, you know, your big donor people, right? The people who, you know, the Brownstein Law Firm, the Pat Hamels, the developers. I mean, not just, you know, the nail salons, the kind of stuff they're doing now does that. And I imagine that hopefully he's getting some pushback from some other organizations. I mean, what was your take on all of that?
Well, Colorado Freedom Force had an action alert where we had people calling and emailing to the governor to relax the regulations around the hairdressers who, by the way, they're independent contractors. They don't typically now work in these huge, large salons. A lot of them work in what are like these small office sharing type
segments. Some out of homes.
Yeah, some out of homes, but apparently there's a $1,000 fine.
You're in jail.
And you can also lose your license if they were to cut it, other people's homes, their own home, rather than out of their offices and their salons. And these people, they don't get money if they're not working.
Right.
I mean, these are the people. And I think what's happening here are the unintended consequences. Often government says that they cater to those that are least among us, but really their policies end up hurting these very people that don't have a huge amount of savings for these rainy day circumstances when suddenly they're going to be, boom, cut off from their income.
We had Jeff Allen from the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, there they have a lot of members, all different sizes of businesses, right? And he said, almost a business, they're telling him, you know, look, we can get through a couple of weeks, right?
And 30 days. Yeah.
Right. And then he said in a month, maybe. But he said this goes longer than 2 months.
These bankruptcies filed all over.
Yeah, they said we just can't do it.
Well, what's interesting about my hairdresser is she said, you know, she has a 2-bedroom, 2-bath. And she said, look, if I don't pay my rent, then I affect the person.
Landlord.
Oh, I affect his mortgage.
Yes.
The this just snowballs and people don't think about the ramifications. The other thing is that, you know, at ColoradoFreedomForce.com, we did some research to find out what's going on with the funding that fund.
Yeah.
Because we want to know how this is getting to our citizens that are being impacted. Well, what I found out is that the funding is going to go to community-based organizations.
Oh.
And going to give the funds out. Yeah. But here's the rub. They haven't identified the community organizations yet. People are in need now. You have to fill out a form as a community-based organization to, number one, be considered. Then you, as a citizen, have to figure out who these companies are. So you got to go back to the website to find them, to finally get some sort of resource or funding. That's very convoluted when you have people that are out of work right now, needing to pay for utilities, rent.
But Jan, it's worse than that. I tried calling 211 because what they said was, and but first I want to give you a great job figuring that out, right? It's like, where's this money going to go? And they said, well, it's not going to go to any individuals or businesses. It's going to go to community-based groups. But in the meantime, they told you, but feel free, you can call 211 for help. So I did that, right? Mm-hmm. So first, you had to go to push 7 for this, blah, blah, blah. You finally get to, if you're somebody who has a question about your business needs because of the coronavirus thing. And what they said was, yeah, all we're doing right now is taking donations. We're not even considering.
Interesting.
You can't even, what you said about you can apply, you can't do that yet. They said, call us back later. If you want to give money, here's how you do that. But if you need some help, we're not even looking at that yet.
That's why the Chuck and Julie Show and Colorado Freedom Force, we have to stay on this.
Yes.
We're united in wanting to make sure that the people that are really affected by this, the most affected are these personal service people, the wait staff at restaurants, small restaurateurs. These are the small businesses that are really being impacted right now. And we want to make sure, we don't want to have some wonderful campaign coming out of the governor's office. And indeed, it's not going to the very people that are being harmed right now.
No, it's going to go to some consultant group that's going to tell you that you can go to them and they'll help you design a graphics package we saw that before with all of these other, the Aurora Theater shooting.
Well, that one was the worst because 9/11, the governor was personally committed to making it work.
Hickenlooper
and so forth. And then we find out that it goes all to counseling, none to the people and their needs for mortgages or everything else. None of it. All to Democrats, to counselors. None to people.
Well,
anybody who contributes to this fund and expects it to go to anything else but politically connected nonprofits is insane. Mm-hmm.
It's just going to. And finally, we screamed about it and other people screamed and they brought in that lawyer from New York and they started. Let me ask you this. This is kind of on a national topic, but on the same thing. So we've got Polis and we've got the $380,000 a year guy from Mile High United Way running this, right? And you can't even apply for help right now.
Just
taking donations. What do you think about what's going on in Washington, D.C., where here again, I was reading. So part of the bill, Mnuchin was saying, it would be you could, as a small business, under 500 people, you could apply for the loan. And if you agree to rehire your workers or keep them hired, the government will forgive the loan. And the Democrats are holding that up over getting funding for Planned Parenthood, windmills, things like that.
Tax credits for windmills.
I worked for the Colorado Department of Economic Development in international trade. And from anything that government does, there's so much red tape. There's no such thing as easy, free money to get to the people that really need it. I don't care where you are in the government system. It just never gets to where it needs to go. And by the time that all gets approved, think about it. People have already lost their apartments. People would have already, trying to figure out how to make ends meet, maybe have to go move in with other family members. To be honest with you, this whole thing, there really isn't a winning solution here, except for to allow people to get back to work, trust the citizens to behave safely, to stay at home if they're sick, and protect the most vulnerable population. I mean, last I checked, it was 570-something cases here with coronavirus in the state of Colorado. 7 people have died. I believe all have been compromised with their health.
Right.
Or they're at risk with their age or a combination of the two. It is consistent across the board worldwide that this is where the issues lie.
Right. You raise a really good point at the state legislature, because one of the things you guys do really well at Colorado Freedom Force is you get people motivated and they go down there to testify and things. So they were saying that after the Hancock's, you're shutting the city down starting at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Well, the legislature is considered essential. Go figure there. But yeah. I'd rather have my hairdresser and my nails.
They're closed till the end of the month, right?
Right. But the thing is, so the mayor's thing is going to be in place till I think April 10th, right?
April 10th.
So if the legislature goes back, well, they can all get down there, but citizens can't, right?
Well, that's the whole problem. And I think if they're going to be ethical and fair-minded and across the board holding themselves accountable, I would think that the only thing they would go back is to take care of the budget, which is they are constitutionally charged with balancing the budget, going through the long bill, shearing up that budget. But I think anything else is derelict to push through any non-essential bills.
Right.
At this point, seems very derelict.
Because I just don't see how there's any way that people can testify. And, and we've seen even with trying to set up this show, you can say, well, you can do it through teleconferencing and things. There are a lot of people who maybe don't have access to that or don't have the technical skills or just, it's a chilling effect, I think. So I absolutely agree with you. I understand there's certain things they have to do, but yeah, they better.
Well, once again, we got elected to the county assembly. And they're going to do everything by basically votes on your laptop and everything else, all these emergency ones.
The problem with the bills, though, Chuck, is there's a lot of fiscal notes and there's a lot of increase to the budget.
Oh, they can't have those.
With our economy, senseless.
Only thing they should be doing is the budget, and they don't have. And there's only, 12 people on the Joint Budget Committee, and so they could meet. And then they could put out a bill that would solve it. But to do all the other bills would be just inappropriate and dangerous.
Well, one thing too, Jim, let me ask you just a couple more questions and then we'll let you go. One of the things I think, though, that this, again, a potential silver lining is, in a time like this, I hope people will look around and say, you know what? Get rid of Denver's stupid single-use bag ban.
Yes.
Right? That's, get rid of that because that's dangerous, right? This is not the time to be slamming small businesses with a minimum wage requirement. Not the time to be slamming small businesses with...
It's a perfect time to review regulations.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what Patrick
to get rid of red tape.
Yeah, that's what Patrick Neville said he was doing, which is, I think, a great idea.
So final for you, Jan, where can people go to join you to find out, et cetera?
Right. Good. For ongoing action alerts, information, our weekly newsletter, go to ColoradoFreedomForce.com. Everywhere that we are is on the site. They can find us on Facebook, YouTube channel, everything. I also do want to encourage people that have not-for-profits to sign up. I have the COVID relief fund up there because I want to monitor who's actually going to get the funds.
Yeah.
A lot of small not-for-profits out in communities, I'd love for them to sign up and see if, because they are working direct with people in their neighborhoods and residential areas. And I want to see if any of them get these funds. So I encourage people, go out. If you've got a not-for-profit and you work directly with people in need, please sign up and let's see if you get some funds from this.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent point. Let us know, because I think it is something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the guess will be it will be the usual politically connected with a smattering of other people. That would be the normal
way. That's monitored, Jan. Good job.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Very good.
Thanks, Jan. Take care.
Bye-bye. Here with Colorado Freedom Force. 888-627-6008 is the number to call. 888-627-6008. And once again, I'm going to use this time to, if you could, go to chuckandjulie.com and up in the little upper right-hand corner, there's a little YouTube icon. You can click on that. That'll take us right to our YouTube channel and you can subscribe. And once we hit a certain number of subscribers, we can go live from YouTube from mobile apps. So that'll make
a big difference. All those from Jason Saltz and others, or whoever Jason pays.
The people who hate us, who listen.
Listen, you need, if you want to keep us on and keep us live so you can criticize us, just go out there, put the like button in. You need to subscribe and keep us being able to give you all this information that you can do all your hating for. So it'll be great for you.
I want to talk a little bit then too, though, about what's going on. Here's what I think. Trump.
What do you think, Julie?
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I think.
Okay, thank God.
But Trump was today tweeting, and he's right. The way I understand it, it's like the 15 days, right? So at the end of April, or the end of March, essentially, right. Trump is saying, we're going to reassess. To me, that makes sense, right? Let's take a look, let's see where we are, let's reassess, see mm-hmm. what we have to do. The mayor has extended it further, the governor even further. All of that could be changed, and I get that. But I think Trump has done, under pressure, a very good job, as evidenced by the fact that the mainstream media is now freaking out about the fact that his press conferences are being covered live, right? You got Rachel Maddow saying, we got to quit covering them live. We cannot do that anymore because they're effective. I also think that people need, I am mad, the Democrats, it's one thing to play politics, but you have this bill that's there. And okay, we could debate some of the aspects of the bill. But in the meantime, the Democrats have made it clear they don't care whether the bill would help, would hurt. They just want to hold it up. They are hoping that this country falls apart, that the economies are a disaster. And then they're going to ride in with socialist plans, get rid of Trump, and you know, tell us all how we have to live our lives every day.
Well, the tectonic plates are moving. Yeah. They really are. And they're bumping up against each other. In the next 30 days, may be the most consequential political time in 100 years. It really will be in 100 years. So it's going to be fascinating. I mean, it's a fascinating time. You know, it's love in times of cholera, and it's going to be who gets them, whose plate. You know, the two talk, and they end up doing that. One goes under. And the Democrats are going, we're going to be this, the Republican. It's going to be a fascinating battle.
But I think there is a difference. And tell me if you disagree. And call us up, 888-627-6008 if you disagree. I would say one difference is this, though. And obviously, I'm biased. But it seems to me that the president is sincerely, he's been forced into this position, right, by the hysteria. I get that. And I think he is sincerely doing his best. He's a businessman, right, to try to manage this and help businesses. Democrats seem to be looking for every opportunity to undermine him, to make it seem worse, to undercut him. And in other words, I don't think they care as long as they win. Now, they're willing to gamble on the gambling.
Just figured bid. This out after,
well,
after,
no, but I mean,
know, how many years on this earth?
Well, and particularly in this circumstance, that there is so many people are going to be hurt by this, not health-wise, but economically. And the Democrats, I think, have made it clear they just don't care. They just don't care.
I mean, you do understand that Roosevelt got four terms, right? He got four terms. And he prolonged the depression by at least 8 years. I mean, he was a disaster, but they controlled the press. Everybody thought it was wonderful. That's what's happening now. Whether who is more honest, ethical, is it Trump, is it that? It's all, how is it going to come out politically? And I don't know how it's going to come out politically. You know, right now, I know that the last three polls they did on the response to
the Trump's response
were, you know, on average 10 points above. And before they
his,
were
his
like,
approval rating is coming up. Yes.
So if that continues, the Democrats will fold. If it doesn't, if it goes the other way, if they're successful, then the Republicans will fold. So you're seeing big time politics with everybody's livelihood at stake. I mean, there's very few people whose livelihood, government workers, of course not, but all the rest of us, it's really at stake. And so it's going to be a slaughter fest.
I think one thing that is happening too, though, is the mainstream media is taking even more of a beating. I think before people didn't really like and people didn't really believe what they say, but I think they have been shown, I mean, they get slammed pretty mercilessly when they talk about, well, how come you're calling it the Chinese virus and things like that? That really is not something I think right now that people want to hear being discussed, do you think?
Well, Democrats do. Identity politics. They think that's a great line of attack. I think it's not worked out well because what do Republicans do when you say that? You know, they say, you know, you're hurting Chinese and all these people getting attacked.
Hug a Chinese
all the time.
Person. Oh, that didn't work out in Italy.
No,
never
oh,
mind
I'm
that.
Sorry. I didn't mean it. Please, I'm not anti-China. You know, but Trump just goes, no, it came from China and it's China. Got it? China.
Ebola, like Spanish
Ebola,
flu.
Spanish flu, Hong Kong flu.
Swine flu, hates
swine
pigs.
Flu, yeah, pig. And so since he's not going back, I mean, if Mitt Romney was president, you know how far he'd be retreating back? And so they don't know what to do. They kind of go, well, gee, that's he didn't fold. Our usual you're a racist stuff didn't work that time. I mean, what's going on?
But I think the other thing that's happening, too, that's good. I mean, I don't know if people have seen. I've watched a little bit of the Joe Biden stuff.
Wow.
Where he's trying to.
Wow.
Here's the thing. I think Joe Biden, if I were Joe Biden's campaign manager, I would just say, like, Joe, shut up. Right now, I mean, what you can do if you're Joe, and which is probably, you know, he should just stay quiet, hope that
Trump shelter in place,
because no matter what he's going to come out and say, he's only going to suggest the same thing that Trump is doing. There's still only so many things that you could be doing, right? So, and then they can also mention, how come you didn't get all the masks replaced from the swine flu? How come you didn't do, how come, you know, Obama was playing golf during the swine flu? I mean, there's so many ways to attack him. And then he also looks kind of halting and stumbly.
Well, he doesn't know exactly. He has this motion now. Help me out
It's
here.
Like you're still on camera.
Yeah, but he's going, hey, you know, somebody come up here and,
That's what I'm saying.
I'm lost. I don't know where I am.
And I think that that looks bad, and he should just shut up. You know, he should
can't
just,
shut up. Yeah. He can't just say, you know, I'll be your president. When I'm your president, I'll talk to you. In the meantime, I'm here at home in Delaware.
And I'm just supporting all of you. Here we got a text from Anil saying, you know, so true. Local government is playing Russian roulette with our livelihoods, and the people are allowing it. Day by day, communist Democrats introduce tyranny with no real opposition. Most Republicans fold real easily. You know, Anil, you're so right. And it just, it makes it, you know, what do you do? I mean, if I'm a millennial in Denver, you got to wonder how long they're going to let the liquor stores be closed. I mean, the kid, you can see.
Well, you can, you know, Glendale's the middle of Denver. A lot of people right on the, you know, the cusp of Arapaho or Jefferson or Adams County. You know, they're not going to go, oh, I guess, you know, my alcoholism will stop.
Even in California, they still kept the liquor stores open.
They're not going to stop going to liquor stores. I mean, how about grocery stores? You know, maybe they'll, in addition to toilet paper, you won't have any beer left. I don't know, but it's an island. I mean, Denver is an island. It's surrounded by other people kind of go, hey, come on in.
They didn't say, you raise a good point there, like that King Soopers there at Colorado or kind of by, like, you know, they're on Leedsdale is going to be, because I mean they can sell booze, right?
So well, they've got a whole liquor store. That's Glendale. Glendale hasn't closed down.
Oh, that's in Glendale. Yeah. Oh, that's it. So I guess, you know, people are going to be glad you can buy your vodka seltzer at the liquor store.
Well, you know, recreational marijuana smoking gun right there on Colorado Boulevard. That's Glendale.
There you go.
I mean, they're going to get so many people mad at them. Because they're going to watch their businesses die.
Well, here's the thing. The kids, you can tell, and I use the kids, they're grown-ups and they're adults. I get that. You can tell they don't believe it, right? They understand that this is a virus that affects a very specific population, which is the elderly. And we say that being elderly, and people also have, all right, Chuck is, that's right, on your diet, he looks great. He's now like 33. I'm a little bit older. But you know, it's affecting so many people, their economy and their economic livelihood, as opposed to this small group of people. And I guess to me, it makes more sense, and I'm not a Nazi for saying this, that we do everything we can to isolate, that group of people, that do everything we can to support them. One of the things that's happening is a lot of this is being spread in the hospital, right? I mean, I think.
Well, I got the swine flu when I went in for hip surgery. I mean, you know.
And then that's not unusual.
No,
actually,
that's not unusual.
And so, you know, maybe if you don't have to go to the hospital, that they're canceling a lot of the surgeries. It just seems to me that the government, and it's just, as Mike Dunafin said at the beginning of the show, it's just this politically correctness.
Right.
That, you know, they hyped up the effects of coronavirus, right? Oh, you get it from eating bats. And then they show Chinese people dropping dead in the streets.
Right.
And then Trump closes or puts a travel ban in on China. And what happens? Everybody screams that he's racist, right? Which turns out to be perhaps the smartest thing he could have done at the very beginning.
Well, I think yesterday, total deaths in China were six. So all these people, including John in Denver, how he's going to get to a minimum. And he's talking about, you know, it's probably much bigger than this, but a minimum of 29,000 deaths in Colorado.
In the next month.
In the next month. I mean,
here's the thing, tell me what you think of this. To a certain extent, like you said, the political tectonic plates are shifting over.
Yeah.
And it's almost like musical
crunching
chairs. It's not.
Well, apparently, they were almost coming to fistfights in the Senate. Not quite, but they were very agitated when they usually don't get agitated.
Right.
And
I think,
again,
the Democrats don't seem to have a plan. They don't seem to have a response except to try to use this more than usual to play identity politics and to support their favorite progressive causes. But I got to think that Trump kind of wins no matter what, because if it gets serious, He's taking action, right? And if we don't end up with 29,000 dead people in Colorado, then Trump can say, oh, it's all me, right? I mean,
he doesn't automatically win. I think
you don't think?
Well, no.
Okay, well, what do you think?
That's not how politics works.
Well, all right. Well.
I mean, one time the Democrats closed down the government in order to, you know, try to get something through. It was such a disaster they gave up. Other time Trump did, and he got blamed. So you just never know. I mean, on logic, I agree with you on, okay, well, Trump should get credit for that, but that's not how politics works. It works on the perception of people. And the news media used to be able to control the perception. So they kind of go, look, we NBC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, we can control how people perceive it, except people have lost all faith, at least that are not, liberal Democrats,
right,
in the New York Times. They can know, that Bob Dylan song about times are changing, you no longer control us. Well, that's true of the American public. New York Times can change its editorial. They changed three times.
Oh, but they changed the headlines.
Yeah.
First they said Democrats stalled it. They're like, bipartisan.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they look like such a stooge. Oh, you don't like that editorial? How about this? No, that one? Oh, that's good.
No, and again, you look
So this is a political jump ball, I think.
Here's final cup. Well, we got about five more minutes. If people want to call in, we got time. 888-627-6008.
I know, but we go.
Do you think that other cities are going to join Denver in the ban?
Yes, some will. I mean, God knows with Westminster, but I don't. Mike's a great mayor in Glendale, and
he'll strong.
Lichtenstein of Liberty, and all that. So. I don't know. Luxembourg of Liberty, whatever it is. Liechtenstein of Liberty. I don't think they'll, but, that's up to them.
But
I think there'll be some municipalities who do not. And if you're right on that border edge of Denver, you could be, doing...
Kind of like lottery sales or fireworks sales. I know it's more serious, but I'm on the Wyoming border. Well, I know Hancock in the news conference indicated that he had been talking to other mayors. My reading between the lines Well, is that they were in agreement with him, that he was going to take the first step.
Mayor Boulder.
He was going to take the first step in other cities.
Well, yeah, that's a Metro Mayor's Conference, and right. They all kind of do whatever the mayor of Denver wants, and they all kind of go in lockstep. But not all of them do. And if they all want to close down, then the Luxembourg of Liberty is really going to make a fortune.
Well, exactly. Well, and here's the thing, too. Again, there seems to be not a whole lot of rhyme or reason, right? So you can go to a restaurant and pick it up and deliver, and you can get the booze to go there, right? But you can't go to a liquor store. You would think that if you had a drive-through liquor store.
Of almost 50 days on diet, and tomorrow.
Chuck can finally drink tomorrow.
No. 50 days of no food, no drink, no nothing.
No booze, sorry, Chuck. No.
no liquor sales for you.
Fortunately, I'm a good wife.
You are good
wife and mother and good.
She said, "Well, maybe we get a little, great whiskey, huge bottles, chugging in.
And the toilet paper." I will say this one more before we go. I do want to give a shout out to our local grocery store. I've heard from other people where their grocery stores are a mess.
Yeah, King Super.
I got to say,
the
King Super is at 104th and Federal.
Yes.
No one else go there. No.
And the other great one is Colorado Citizen Press. You got to go there. It's where you get your information. I mean, you can't get it from Colorado Politics. I like, what's the one for?
Phil Anschutz?
No, not
Colorado
Phil's.
Politics, and then Complete Colorado.
Complete Colorado. That's still, that's still owned by the, and run by the independent. Well, it's independent, but if you really want to get the, true conservative, true grassroots, it's wonderful. It's
right.
Just Colorado Press.
Colorado
Citizen Press. Just go to it. You'll love it.
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Okay, that's going to do it for us. Remind everybody you can catch the podcast at ChuckandJulie.com. Once again, please subscribe to us on Facebook and on YouTube. And as we head out, just our thanks to the folks, the BBS guys. They've been in lockdown forever. They don't even get vacations anymore.
No,
so thank
they're
you.
So essential they never get to rest.
That's right. So thank you to them too. And we will see you all next time.